I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Psalm 119 would much intrigue those among us who like to study facts, especially that could trivialize such things as the Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's broken into 22 sections, each bearing a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of those sections contain 8 verses, and every one of those 176 verses will have the words law, commandments, judgments, testimonies, statutes, precepts, or word somewhere in that verse. Every one of those verses will refer to something, maybe a different expression, but it is speaking ultimately about the Word of God. Aren't you glad we have it? Praise God. Aren't you glad we're able to read it and understand it? And again, we should be thankful for those that have hazarded their lives through the generations to bring this precious word to us. But I want to focus your attention on verse 165 and draw a title from that scripture. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I wish that somebody would come up with a little cliche like my dad. I'd guess he's the one that I've first heard say it many times, that all means all, and that's all means, you know. We say that sometimes, and if somebody could come up with this word nothing, I mean, does it mean anything else than just nothing? That's all nothing means, I suppose. Nothing, great peace. I'm spending a little time here, but I want this to soak in. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing. Now, you know, did the Holy Ghost just put that word nothing in there just for a filler, because it kind of rhymed in the book of Psalms and it sounds good? Or does it really mean nothing? Come on now, y'all are quiet. I don't really even see any heads shaking here, but we will agree with the Word of God, won't we? Well, I know somebody that did. Well, I know somebody that got offended. Well, I know somebody. Well, the only conclusion I can come back to is that if they allowed themselves to become offended, they didn't love the law of God like they needed to. Because the Word of God has to stand, amen. Y'all still kind of quiet, but it has to stand. The Word of God, nothing, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So I want to use for a title today, without fear, without offense. Without fear, without offense. And I feel like I need to lay some perimeters for this message so as not to be misunderstood. Because sometimes I think that people need to study the definitions as to see if their violation, and when I'm speaking about a violation, whether their offense would qualify actually to be in the category of the offended. Now, I hope did I make that perfectly clear to everybody? There's a lot of people going around saying, and I've heard through the years, that they were offended. And I just want you to understand, it's the reason if you know somebody that say they're offended, they need to be able to qualify their offense. They need to be able to say, I am offended because of this, or this happened, or that happened. And there's a huge difference in having your feelings hurt. Come on now. I know we're not all the church is not here today, but a lot of times people say they're offended. They're not offended. They've just got their feelings hurt. Something happened, and And you know, maybe sometimes we say, well, people wear their feelings on the cuff. And I know some people are emotionally. If you study those four characteristics, and I don't mean to get off on a bunch of stuff here that doesn't interest you, but Gary Smalley, I believe, was the one that wrote a book about the four characteristics or four main characteristics that they say that every human has. And some of them are always there will be one or two that are more common or more pronounced. And how I was able to remember them, he gave them all animal names to help you remember. You have a lion personality, and you have a beaver personality, and you have a otter personality, and you have a golden retriever personality. And a lion, of course, we understand what that is. That's that one that always has to win. The lion can come into a room and see what needs to be done and start barking out orders, and everybody better get in line and start doing it. And a golden retriever is something that their nature, and that's what made me think about this, is not even in my notes, so I'm really in trouble right now. But that golden retriever can be so easily offended. Do I have any bird dog hunters in here? Anybody know pointer, short-haired pointer bird dog? They're stubborn, aren't they, Brother Cleve? I mean, sometimes even you let them get a little ways and shoot their backside with a shotgun because they won't mind. But if you've got a long-haired setter, their nature is totally different. And Brother Archie Jones said years ago he had a setter that he shot a bird. The dog retrieved the bird, brought it back to him, and it just bit down a little too hard on the bird, and he whipped the dog for crunching the bird. And he said as long as he owned that dog, it never would carry him another bird. It would pick up birds and bring them to other people, but it would not bring one to him because he hurt that dog's feelings. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Y'all are making me awfully nervous here this morning. Without offense, there are people that, I know I'm in this business, but there are people, no matter how hard you try, you're going, no matter how hard you try not to, you are going to hurt their feelings. It just happens. But there's a huge difference between having your feelings hurt and being offended. I got to move on here. I know Jesus had some strong things to say about the offender, and we may read that here in a little bit. Amen. It really seems to me, as it relates to offenses in scriptural terms, as I can understand it, to be offended means to have been caused to sin. And that's where it makes the difference between having your feelings hurt and being offended. If somebody has caused you to sin, amen, Then you're in trouble because you've sinned, but they are in more trouble because they caused you to sin. Amen. Help me, Jesus. And Luke chapter 17, Jesus speaks in verse 1, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. That is the constant. Hear me, young people, no matter how sensitive your feelings are, somebody has to have the wisdom to tell you offenses are going to come in your life. No matter what kind of bubble you live in, no matter how much you're protected, offenses will come. Amen. Why do I know that? Because Jesus said they would. Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Amen. I would not go to a church where a pastor had an attitude. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if I hurt their feelings or not. I don't care. I'm just going to do it my way. No matter if it hair lifts the devil, I'm going to do it. Amen. You better watch an attitude like that. It's dangerous to offend. And we have the capability at times to offend people. Amen. But more times, more often than not, when people take offense or they allow themselves to become hurt, oft times, especially as it relates in a church situation, if you run it back, there was a good intention from the heart on the person that said something or done something. Amen. But oft times, the enemy gets into that and turns it all around and causes it to become an offense. Every one of us, no matter whether you're in the pulpit or the pew, every one of us can affect people around us. Amen. Don't think for one minute after being years in the ministry that people haven't hurt my feelings and my wife's feelings and my children's feelings at times, and sometimes they didn't any more mean to do that than the man in the moon, if there is such a thing, and there's not. They didn't mean to, but the enemy took something that was said or an action that was done, or sometimes even an inaction or something that wasn't said when something should have been said, and the devil caused them to take offense. Amen. But woe unto him that has no care, that doesn't have any feelings about how something might be taken or perceived and cause somebody to sin. If you cause someone to sin, you have offended. Amen. And since we are strongly forewarned that offenses are going to come, aren't you glad the Word of God has given us a remedy whereby we may avoid the casualty and the calamity of the offended? Praise God. I don't want to be offended. I know people right now that are sitting high and dry that were one time, Brother Robbie, in the ministry, but because something didn't go right in the church, they become offended and they lost their church and they lost their experience and they lost their ministry, and they're sitting somewhere doing nothing. Amen. We've got to guard against this. And if Jesus told us that offenses will come, that means that I may hurt your feelings and not even mean to. That means you may hurt somebody's feelings around you and not even mean to. But what we've got to come to the conclusion, no matter which side of the fence you're on, praise God, I do not have to be offended. Hallelujah. I am without fear and without offense because the Word of God said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing's, come on somebody say it with me, nothing, amen, say it again, nothing shall offend them. Oh God, help us that we could avoid the calamity and the casualty of those that have allowed themselves to become offended. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 1. The Old Testament in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. There's several verses that I want to read to you here this morning. It said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, listen to these promises, be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Listen to verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe. This is important right here. That thou mayest observe to do according to all. There's that little word, to do according to all the law. Amen. Which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Don't that sound good? Amen. Listen to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. That's the second time we've read that word, to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I want you to look at the life of Joshua. Joshua's fixing to have the full command of the army and the people, amen, being laid upon his shoulders. Amen. Matter of fact, it already has happened. Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead, and now Joshua has this great responsibility. Amen. How's he going to feed them? How's he going to clothe them? How's he going to train them for battle? Amen. They are right now down at the Jordan River. They are just within a few miles of Jericho. And they know they're going to have to conquer that first city. Amen. Joshua, being the military man that he is, knows that it's very important for his troops that are unseasoned and untrained in military maneuvers, that it's vitally important that they win this first battle to encourage them and strengthen them. Amen. Oh, yes. You know that Joshua's praying. You know he's calling on God. You know he's asking those around him, help me pray. We got to go to Jericho. We're going to have to conquer Jericho. Amen. But God moves on him and speaks to him and says, your key, your remedy to winning battles is to get in my book and get in my law and read it and study it and meditate on it. If you want to have good success, if you want to have good military outcomes, get in the law of God and meditate in it day and night. Hey man, don't spend all your time. We're going to get them cornered over here, and we'll bottleneck them over here, and we'll we'll surround this gate over here, and we'll get over here somewhere, and we'll catch them if they're coming out this way. No, no, that wasn't what God was saying. He said, Joshua, you're the captain. You're the man. You're the leader. Get in my word and read my word and study my word. Amen. And then when you do that and observe everything that's in it, then you will have good success. Amen. Joshua, you won't have to fear the Jericho, the city of Jericho. You won't have to worry about being offended. You can have great peace because you love my law, and nobody, no man, no military force, no wall city will ever be able to stand up against you. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Nothing, 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 nothing shall offend them. Within a few short days, they got to conquer Jericho. Amen. The conquest will not need any human artillery. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But there were some things concerning the law, hear me, that needed to be observed, that had been neglected for many years. Amen. You can read between chapter 1 and chapter 5. Amen. Those things, some of those things that had not been given attention to. And now they're facing the battle. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'd sure like to help somebody in here this morning. You may think you're doing good, and you may be doing well as long as you're living under the protection of God, and you're eating His manna. Amen. And your shoes are not wearing out because of His miracles. Amen. Your clothes and your garments are not growing old. You are divinely protected. Amen. Sometimes when we are living so much in the blessings of God, we don't see the necessity to get in His Word and read it and love it and realize there might have been something. It's hard for me to believe that these people that were living under the protection and the provision of such miraculous things that God was doing in their life, that they were overlooking such things as circumcision, amen, and keeping the Passover, all of those things in that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, living in God's blessing, living in God's protection, and not understanding that there was yet a law that needed to be loved and observed and adhered to, amen, so God could and would continue to work in their life. Amen. Sometimes our blessings in a way can become a detriment to us if we don't fall in love. Amen. Come on, Lord, help me preach. We need to not be in love with the blessings and start being in love with the Word that brings the blessings. Can somebody say amen? And that was the problem. God knows they're going up against Jericho. God already has in His mind what He wants to do and how He wants to deliver Jericho into their hand. But He wants them to have a love and appreciation for His Word. Great peace have they which love Thy law. Woo, hallelujah. And nothing, nothing shall offend them. Now we read in Joshua chapter 5, what has been overlooked for many years has been revealed to Joshua, and it never would have, possibly never been revealed to him, the key to their success in Jericho, had he not got in the law and loved it and meditated on it. It's amazing what you will find while you're reading the Word of God and loving the Word of God, what you will find in there that you've never heard anybody preach on. And that's the way it ought to be. I mean, there's no way, brother, in a lifetime, me and you put together and Brother John and every other preacher can preach everything in that Bible. One fellow told me one time by his own admission, when they really got in some problems in their church, their people and their pastor, he told me himself, I did not want to read the Word of God. I did not want to study the Word of God. I was making money. I had a good business. I wanted to go to church, and I wanted the preacher to tell me what to do. He told me that. And I wanted to only be responsible for only what he told me to do. And that's what a lot of people want to do. They want to go to church. Somebody tell them what to do. They go to the altar and pray 3 or 4 minutes, get up and go home and do that, and don't worry about anything else. But you know what? When you come to Jericho, that's when you're going to have problems. Unless you have developed a love. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, Joshua had to learn this early in his career. And boy, I'm glad he did. So God got to talking to him, showing him. He said, man, Joshua, get in the law. In other words, this is what the pastor's preaching this morning. Get in the book. Get in the book. Brother McDonald said, not Facebook. He said, get your face in the book. That's what we need to do. We need to get our face in the book. I'm not preaching against all different kinds of social media. We're broadcasting right now. It can be a wonderful thing. But you can spend your too much of your time. Amen. Come on now, somebody help me preach. The reason we stood strong against television for so many years in the independent holiness, free holiness movement and some conservative, strict Assembly of God places is because it was a time waster. Somebody say amen now. It took people away from the Word of God. Amen. And now it's not the television so much. It's other things that we have at our disposal that is doing the same thing to us that we were so afraid of so many years ago. Somebody help me preach now. And it can become a time waster. Help me, Holy Ghost. Joshua had things to do. I'm telling you, it's important for these unskilled, untrained men to win a battle. And what am I going to do? How am I going to accomplish this? The Spirit says, get in the book, Joshua. Don't worry about all these military maneuvers. Just get in my book. Well, I'm trying to drive this home. Get in the Word, man. Get in the Word. Quit worrying about what you wish I'd preach and what you think I ought to preach and how much things would be better if somebody... I have people giving me ideas all the time about what I need to get on. Come on now. I don't want to turn around to them. You need to get in the book. When you start... I've said this for years in my ministry. When you start loving God... Oh, hallelujah. I mean, when you start loving Him and loving His Word. Hear me, young girls. God will deal with you about things before the pastor ever gets around to preaching about it. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over. And that's really the way it should work. Our jobs as ministry should be to create the environment wherewith our young people can grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Am I in the book? Am I doing okay? Help me out, elders. So, what are we going to do? I don't have time to read all of chapter 5, but it's in chapter 5 you'll find out.